Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of the show. You can call in and join us at 914-338-1239, and you can also do Skype, or you can join us live in our chat room. Follow our blog daily at divadaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook. In this past week, we launched a new fan page to make sure you go and like that. Our fan page is called Diva Days of Our Lives. And you should be able to find that. That's pretty easy. And I put a bunch of Twitter pictures up of myself and some actors this week. That caused a stir. No, Brian DeTillis not coming back. And no, that's not a recent picture of Brian. So I'm sorry. Yeah, I felt bad about that.
Yeah.
So if you want to see some of my twit pics, follow me at Diva Abdul. And all of these links are you can find on our show page right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I apologize, I'm still coughing, even though I'm on antibiotics and steroids. I'm still coughing my brains out.
Oh, you're on steroids?
Yeah.
Look out, everyone.
Yes, so my coughs are really manly this weekend.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's that up.
Intimidating.
Oh, my gosh. People are like, your voice is so low and scratchy. And I can't tell if my voice is always low and scratchy. But I guess it's really bad this week. So I'll try to remember not to cough into the phone. So today we have Marianne joining us.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Miss Anna here.
Hello.
Hello. So, ladies, since we already kind of talked about this before the show, I would say the winner this week had to have been Kate, because she has the most kick-ass scenes this week.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just letting Anna go off and tell us about Team Kate.
Well, she's fabulous, of course. You know, she had the little smackdown with Chloe on Thursday. I think it was Thursday's episode, and that was pretty good. Although, I like that she had the parting shot as Chloe was leaving. But, you know, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that scene, but they did they did a great job with what the lines that they had and the amount of time that they had. I don't know. Of course, I love that. Of course, I wanted a SmackDown in 2009. I wanted Kate to smack her down for the whole Daniel thing, but you know, and cheating on Lucas. I had already printed like 1,000 SmackDown 2009 T-shirts, and that never happened. So, you know,
back in 2009.
I've got, like, as long as you pay shipping and handling, I'll be glad to send you one. So that was cool. But the best part of this week, in my opinion, was Kate and EJ on Friday. That was great. Those guys are great together. I love how they always throw extra layers in there. You know, they always, you know, they really make the most of their scenes together. And because the characters have had a past together, I don't know if I'd call it a romantic past, but they've definitely had corporate partners with benefits relationships in the past. And so they know each other intimately, we'll say.
Yeah,
and so it's great because Lauren and James always try to bring that layer, even when maybe it's not there in the dialogue. So I love that about them. It's a lot of fun, I think, for them to do. And
the expression.
Together and everything. Yes, yes. And they're
and the
very witty. And, you know, it reminds me of old, you know, the original snarky, sharp EJ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, you know, when you watch old EJ clips, meaning Kate and EJ, you're reminded of just how witty, their witty repartee and their sexual tension and all. And I mean, I know they weren't like a romantic relationship, so to speak. I think, You know, they may have had a lot of couch sex, but I don't know that they had any, you know, huge romance going. But, and desk sex also, yeah, desk sex, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But just they bring all that. They're able to bring the richness of their characters and of their history together when they have scenes together. And I don't know, a lot of people have been reacting on Lauren's feed about those scenes. I mean, so it definitely made an impact. And particularly like when she put her hand on his face, that was like,
Yeah.
So, I was digging those scenes. And I mean, you know, I know there's Ejani fans out there and, you know, other people and whatever that might not like it, but I thought they did a great job. And it was a lot of fun, and it really reminded me a little bit of what EJ was like when I really, really loved him. You know, now it's like sometimes mm-hmm. I don't recognize him. And I love the party, the last, I think at some point Kate said something about, baby, I'm glad you're back, or something like that, and I love that. I was like, yes, let's hope. And, you know, it was interesting because I know these are the rewritten, I think what we're seeing now are some of the rewrites. They still, I noticed the new writers' names were in the credits. But I think those
mm-hmm,
rewrites.
That's right. I think it's the rewrites now.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. the rewrites. And it was interesting because, and Carolyn Coulatin, I have to say, wrote the script. So, you know, I love the Coulatins. I'm fangirling for the
mm-hmm.
Coulatins all the time. But Carolyn wrote the script for that. And I loved it because she basically called out what has been happening to EJ's character. You know, like Kate's, I can't remember the exact quote, and I didn't come particularly prepared to quote it, but I know that she said something along the lines of, you know, you're this, you're that. You know, kind of
right.
basically, like, you've been all over the place for the last few years. I hardly recognize you. And I was like, praise the Lord. Somebody's finally said what we've all been thinking about.
Poor,
you know, poor EJ, you know. And so, so I loved that, you know, that he's finally owning his inner Demira again. And she loved seeing that in him. Because, you know, have you ever known somebody that, like, becomes a different person when they're in a relationship with someone? I know we can hardly call the Taylor-EJ relationship a relationship, but if anything, it was disgusting. But anyway, but, you know, sometimes they change a lot to where you don't even recognize them. And it was kind of cool because I think she was kind of calling the writer, you know, the writers were calling the old writers out on, you know, your character's been written
how
so horribly over the last couple of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's kind of a good sign, I think, that hopefully we'll see the EJ we all, or most of us fell in love with, come back, I hope. So,
mm-hmm.
anyway, that's my my thoughts on those scenes. What did you guys think?
Well, Kate, I remember how she said it, something like, well, first you schemed to get your kids back, then you gave them away, then you wanted Nicole, then you kicked her out. You know, it was like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're bad, then you're good, then you're bad again. Like, you know, who are you? But I really liked when he said he got real serious. You know, when she's trying to get to go behind their back and get, I guess she wants to try, was trying to get up Thomas Wilhelmina started. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe she's trying to do that, like with Austin, maybe Austin and Carrie coming back, giving them mad or something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe something like that. You know, it was Billy's, but now Austin's coming back, so maybe doing something for her son. But then he said to her, he says, well, he's back. He says, and I'm embracing who I am, and I know who I am.
Yes.
And he said, I'm at the mirror through and through. And I'm there, yes. You know, and just the way he said it and the way he looked at her, I said, oh, EJ's back. So
mm-hmm.
so I really, I did enjoy the scenes. I think they were some of the best scenes, those two together and the scenes with Chloe and
mm-hmm.
Kate, too. Yeah, when Chloe came in the door and said, you bitch, and she says, oh, like I haven't been called that before.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
that
was great.
She's talking about you've been a horse
new.
In high school. First Philip, then Lucas, and all.
You've been, now you're just getting paid well for it.
Oh, that's right. That was great. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so I think.
You know, and then it's like she says, I can't believe I didn't figure it out earlier. And I don't know what Kate said, but it was like I was thinking, we can all believe you didn't figure it out earlier.
Yeah, she
Chloe.
Never figures it out. Chloe's like clueless, always clueless. Yeah, like the deer in the headlight, you know?
Yes,
still Chloe. Although, like you were saying back in 2009, see, that's when everybody was really rooting for Chloe to die and for Kate to win.
Yes.
And get,
But yes. Now I have to admit it's kind of turning. You kind of feel more sorry for
yeah.
Chloe. I mean, at least
yeah.
I do. I had more well, sorry for Chloe, and Kate's coming off the really like
right.
Really
well, Kate
bad.
Needs a
you
Kate
know,
needs
like,
a worthy
you know.
Kate needs a worthy adversary. And I mean, I like some
right.
aspects of Chloe. I'm not saying I don't hate the character, but I hate the way they've written her of late. But.
Hey.
That, the thing, I wish they would call upon her history more and the character that she was when she was younger. That's true. I mean, here Kate was following her around with a syringe with poisonous, you know, with lethal dosages. And we're all like, get her. But part of it is that the offenses for which she was going after her are kind of distant at this point, but also the motivation isn't as clear for the character, because here she's happily married now to Stefano, she's moved on, you know, so it's kind of like it's not
why are you bothering
other than the grandbaby thing. I mean that's true.
Yeah.
I mean Kate always does try to protect her kids, just like Stefano, you know, even though they
mm-hmm.
kill half of them by accident, but anyway, no, not really, but I think, you know, so there's the motivation there with the grandbaby. And I understand she's angry at what she did to Philip and everything, but
uh-huh.
at the same time, I think Chloe's become so pathetic that it's she's not a worthy adversary for Kate. I mean, I
right.
love their fight. I love their fight, but she's not a
mm-hmm.
worthy adversary at this point. You know, Kate needs to go up about against other people that, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, she needs to go out. She needs to go up against you know, a character that's or the
mm-hmm.
adversary, because otherwise you start thinking, oh, she's starting to pick on the girl, and this isn't any fun, you know. So, you know, this girl, kick her while she's down. I mean, she's really down right now, you know. And so I agree. I mean, not that I have a lot of sympathy for Chloe, but it doesn't have the same dynamic as it had back then. So you're right on that. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I have to update everybody on the Steelers game. Apparently, Byron Leftwich has a broken left arm and was taken to the hospital.
Oh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So I'm assuming he's out for the year. That's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the whole Kate thing this week, I mean, she was awesome. And they mentioned in the chat room the her mini clip this week, too, with I can't remember what the hell it was.
Her what?
She had a mini clip this week, didn't she? Kate. Yes, in the foyer with her portfolio, remember?
See, I didn't see that. I think that was only on
yeah.
NBC.
Wait, she did what? I didn't catch that.
Well, it's on the blog.
What?
Duh.
What blog?
What blog?
Oh, yeah,
oh,
that
my
one.
God. For real.
I can't believe I missed that.
I still didn't hear what you said. I couldn't with your. I didn't hear what you said. Something in the foyer, but I didn't hear what you said.
Okay. All this week, Days did little instead of the flashback.
Oh, okay.
Scene,
yeah, flashback.
They did future scenes this week.
Okay. Yeah, with Jennifer,
flashback.
I saw that one. Okay.
Yes, and Jennifer was looking through her desk to find the picture of Jack.
Right. I
Kate
saw that.
In her foyer. Yeah, Kate's in her foyer and says,
oh,
Kate, you really outdid yourself this time, and she's sniffing her perfume.
Oh,
and then
kind of Philomena.
Yeah, and EJ is talking to the camera, you know, like
I saw that one.
Looks like he's filming a commercial. And
yeah.
he's kind of talking to someone off screen about saying how stupid it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
his mayor.
And Ellen was John Black. Looks like he gets a phone call. And it looks like he's getting maybe a massage or something. I kind of have the impression maybe he's lifting weights.
Oh, a naked
though.
Massage?
Well, he was shirtless, and he had the Phoenix tattoo on his right shoulder.
Oh.
But everybody brought up this week, he had
the tattoo
removed.
I must have fast-forwarded too quick.
Yeah, they had the tattoo removed, though, back when he took Rex and Cassie to get their tattoos removed. He had it removed, too. So I don't know how. Yeah, but people are bringing up though in the Sherry Anderson, her first book with the tattoo kind of came back on its own.
Right.
I guess something evil about the tattoo that came back.
I'm just wondering if they're
going
to remember he's a Demira. or if they're just going to not even go there. Because they don't go there with Brady at all. It's like Brady's not even at Demira. He's all against the Demiras, but he's past Demira. So,
someone said they back in the spring that they like walked past the Day's offices, and someone says, well, they were talking about John, and they actually said, oh, remember, he's you know, part Demira, too. So I guess you know, the writers were discussing the whole Demira part back in the spring.
Oh. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, with Kate, though, I mean, the Chloe thing, I mean, when Chloe kept saying, oh, Kate, you know, you lose all the time to me, and it's like, how?
Yes.
How?
Yeah, you always end up losing. I'm like, what? Are you watching the same show I am, Chloe?
Chloe's a prostitute. She doesn't have custody of her son. She no longer has Daniel. So how exactly is she winning?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe she's winning like Charlie Sheen was winning there for a while. I don't know.
And then she kind of
delusional. And you guys have more history on the show than I do. I missed the early years of Kate because I watched the 80s and I didn't watch the 90s. So I know a little bit about the history, but what I was trying to figure out, and maybe it was addressed sometime during the week, maybe I just missed part of this episode or something. But why was it such a secret why was Kate trying to keep a secret about bringing back the company? And why did EJ act like he had just, you know...
That came out of the blue, Anna.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Clearly that was a rewrite.
That had to be a rewrite because that came out of the blue. And Stefano was sick all of a sudden. Really bad. Like, he went away. Like, he's away somewhere. Like, he's not even in... He's not even around.
That's
like, he's
really
out of town
weird.
Or something
like,
sick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
And
It was kind of like, it didn't make sense. It didn't flow right or something.
Okay.
It didn't seem
good.
Right
I thought
to
I
me.
Was missing something, and I thought, okay, maybe this
that
has
came
some,
out of
maybe
the blue.
Somebody else knows why this would be a secret and why this would matter if it was a secret. Because, I mean, Kate's business affairs, EJ usually couldn't care less. So,
Yeah,
I was just wondering
like,
about that. Okay, well, that makes me feel better.
They had to give them some kind of conflict, I guess. But, I thought it came out of the blue.
In the chat room, I mentioned that drinking/tweeting game that I was talking about last week where we drink or we tweet every time we hear where we recognize a rewrite. So we're either going to be really drunk or going to end up in Twitter jail. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, and how about this whole thing with Taylor? Now being one of Quinn's girls, and she was a prostitute back
maybe
in the day.
Maybe that would be a
Wow, that's
too.
A switch. I mean, yeah, that came out of nowhere to me, too. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, they did say when they hired her, they were taking the character in another direction, but I still think this was even yet another direction from what they did already. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is which one of them is going to end up dead by this prostitute beater upper.
I thought maybe Kinsey.
I'm wondering if Kinsey. They won't. I don't think they'll kill Chloe off. I could be wrong. I don't because she's kind of indirectly a legacy character.
Maybe Taylor.
I mean, but
Taylor's
I'm thinking
the one,
maybe
really,
they might kill
they
Taylor off. Mm-hmm. They might kill Kinsey. I'm pretty sure they're going to kill Kinsey. Okay, and then I got to thinking: do you think it's either Tad or I know somebody was saying the DA Woods, and that very well could be. But I was also wondering about Tad. Because
I heard it's
so
Gus.
I
heard it's Gus.
Who? Oh, Gus. Who cares? Well, who cares?
It's Gus.
Women.
It's Gus.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Because he's mad because his madame is, you know, he's framing Quinn for it. He's setting up Quinn to take the rap. Setting up Quinn.
Okay.
And he's the one that took his book. He has all the pictures of. Yeah, I don't know if Vivian's behind it, too. I don't know why she wouldn't want to hurt her son that bad, because she knows
so
about
he the
Chloe.
One that stole
I mean,
his tablet?
Carly.
Right, Gus the one that stole his tablet?
Well,
Do
I don't know.
That,
I think he is. There's a spoiler out there. Yeah.
Okay, Wiki Days is saying it's Gus. She said it 14 times there, so I guess I should know. Shut up.
Yeah. I saw it on Twitter. Spoiler.
It's Gus. Yeah. I didn't know. See... you helped me out there, guys, because I was thinking maybe it was Tad or something. I was like, well, what's going on here? I don't know.
His character's out of whack, too. He wouldn't be. You know, this just seems how upset he is about because that kid always seemed like a happy-go-lucky kid. You know, like, well, he
wouldn't
care.
Yeah, exactly, and all
Sonny
of a sudden he's being a jerk, and he's being a jerk about Sonny being gay and all. I mean, I just thought that was a stupid ride. I mean, I know that that happens in the real world, but it was like he was always, like you said, a happy-go-lucky
guy. But he was just like the wrong character for it.
And I also thought it was kind of stupid the way, you know, all of a sudden he and Kinsey are in this hotel room, and it was all to set her up to see Chloe getting paid for sex. But it was kind of like, what? They're going to a hotel to do it? I mean, like, all that time, like, he had this crush on her. And, like, all of a sudden she's like, yeah, let's go do it. You know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. But, oh, well.
Yeah.
That's days for you.
I think more and more you're going to find things that are just not quite flowing or just kind of, like, maybe just thrown in there, hurried up and rewritten. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like the boat scenes this week.
Yes, I did like the boat scenes with the breakfast in bed. And
Remember at Sony?
Bo was looking good.
Remember when Sony had somebody had on their banner, their just signature, they had how many days since the last time Bo had had sex on screen, you know, on the show?
It was a long time.
And it was like a long time. And I thought, you know, I mean, they've had it since they've been back together. But, I mean, it was so nice to see them in bed together and being playful. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I have to admit, I had some old flashbacks to the 80s during that those scenes. And, I mean, it was nice to see Peter Reckles' chest, I have to admit.
And he had those glasses. He was looking good in the glasses, too.
I saw you tweet that.
I tweeted it to him.
Now, I fast-forwarded through all the Roman Nandy scenes or whatever the prostitute's name was. I didn't even, did anything come out of that?
With Roman just bore the heck out of me, but whatever.
He needs somebody.
Just somebody for Roman.
Or even I think you guys suggested one time if Faye came back from dead or was in the basement, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
locked up in the basement somewhere or something, because I love her.
Or she has a sister or evil Faye or somebody. Maybe she's not really dead.
Love to see her come back. And I'd love for her to reconnect with Kate, too, because of that history. But anyway, I don't know. But, I'm just not really interested in a prostitute I don't care about. It's not somebody I care. I know they're leading up to this big story or whatever, but I really don't care that much about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I think the Taylor thing coming out of the blue that she's a prostitute, she's somehow connected with Glenn and all, I think that was a rewrite. I don't know. I could be wrong. Save Jack says, no, Higley just can't write. Because we know she would love to talk about this. Were those scenes with Taniel and Jennifer Tanifer, whatever, were they actually like on the, was this the week that they were on the blanket? They got the blanket. They got the community blanket this week, and they were in their bathing suits and everything.
Ugh.
Well, that was awful fun, guys.
I kind of feel like she
looks so young for her age and everything. I always feel he's like trying to molest her, like he's thinking she's like 21 or something. I don't know. He's just creepy. I don't know. But I can hardly wait till Jack gets back. I guess it goes without saying.
Well, now Abby's done a whole 180 with Jack. Remember how she was trashing him? Now she's she really wants her dad and her mom together.
Yeah.
That's definitely. She's turned around. Yeah.
I mean, they've been talking about bringing Jack back for quite a while, Matt Ashford back for quite a while. So maybe it's not a rewrite there. I don't know, but I don't know.
I think the whole trashing that was just a setup for him coming back. I think back then they knew.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
they knew he was coming back then.
I think they had to put it on ice for a while because of all this other stuff that was going on. I think that's why it kind of stalled there for a while. But yeah, it's like somebody. Oh, Rex in the chat room says skeevy blanket. It's like that's the community blanket for skeevy sex with characters we don't care about being together. It's like the kiss of death blanket. Let's see. I don't know. Did Dina Higley have something with textiles? Because we've got the scarf and the picnic blanket, and I don't know what else. But I don't know. It's like the magical Christmas, the magical you know, the magic of textiles, I don't know. Ugh. Are they filled with pheromones or something? I don't know.
Oh, well. We know that's not going to last, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
excuse me, Jack and Jeff mentioned the Roman overkill this week. I don't think it was a Roman overkill. It's just weird that he was on another episode for the entire episode. Did you notice that?
What?
He went from Roman did a really bad job asking questions of Mandy in the hospital and couldn't get her to say anything.
Yeah.
He'll come in and do it. And then, you know, then he overhears Sammy's
problem. Yeah,
Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was on
the
entire episode.
Hope.
Yeah, he was on the entire episode this week. Yeah, so I only saw that Roman overkill that he's on one week.
But left no lasting impression.
Well, and I really like Josh Taylor. He's a good guy. I mean, he really is.
Not as Roman.
I've seen him in person, but poor guy. I mean, the writing for Romans is always so bad, except for when he was with Kate, which was wonderful. But, you know, it's just a shame that he gets screwed like that because, you know, I don't know. But, I don't know. I just wasn't interested in.
He should just never have been cast as Roman. If you got to bring him back as Chris. That was a good character.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Then
that was just so wrong to bring him back.
Brady and all that, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, the other Roman will always be Roman. But, anyway.
Or even somebody else, but I don't know. Oh, well.
Okay. I'm going to bring Angela on. She's been on hold.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Angela.
Great. Hey, guys. How
Hello.
Are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Good.
Hello.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I had one other thought talking about Gus, because it was my...
Mm-hmm.
But don't you... You remember the scene where Gus and Kate were in... And I'm thinking, I hope this is the way.
Yeah.
They never really... Part wrap that up. He kept saying no, he was loyal to the madam and so forth. So of course, you know, he's exceptionally jealous of Quinn, which I think somebody else already talked about. Oh, I've just been thinking, what if Kate has hired Gus, and then he'll stay on kind of as her assistant and so forth. I mean, I know they say that Chris is coming back for just like a couple of episodes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's more comic relief than anything. Because I honestly like Gus's character at the beginning. Obviously, they've just ruined everything to do with Vivian. So, you know, he's kind of gone down the tube with her. But I kind of like the idea maybe if Gus is working for Kate. Because, you know, really,
he's doing it on his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he's doing it on his own, though.
It's just
his
hatred for Quinn.
He's making a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's working for Kate.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would like to
Yeah,
but
then I'm thinking, what would Kate's motivation be for beating up prostitutes? The only one she cares about getting beat up is Chloe. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. To get revenge on Chloe and to make, and here Quinn just totally backed out on her, on everything.
Yeah, that's true. Quinn
really
made
mad.
Her upset. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, don't mess with Kate.
Yeah, that's right.
I love
it. EJ said, don't mess with me. Yeah.
We'll bake you a bunch of brownies, man.
Well, I'm just so excited that
never
going to
live those brownies.
You know, I mean, it's just obvious, you know, they're going to bring Council Amina back. And, you know, she's got to have a lot of her family back in town. So I just am excited for Kate. And I like the EJ scenes, too. I thought that was super. So I'm just real happy for Lauren. The other thing I was going to mention is, you know, we read some, you know, there was a lot of discussion about whether Ryan Attillo was coming back or not as Lucas. And then it was kind of in that, I don't know if it was Soaps in Depth or one of the websites.
That he wasn't.
And the whole thing saying he definitely was not. But then there seemed like there's been another flurry of activity, and I noticed in one of the quotes from Marlene, you know, she was talking, and this caused a lot of consternation this week. I'm really still not quite sure why it got to be such a big issue. But, you know, she was just saying, you know, that, you know, they can't please absolutely everybody all the time.
Oh, I did read all those tweets,
people
were taking it personally.
Oh,
especially
the Danny
fan.
I think that's true. I mean, I think that's very
but
true. I've actually
right.
almost tweeted. I've almost tweeted her myself and said that. Like, look, I know you can't please everyone all the time, but I hope that there's going to be some good stuff coming out for Kate once all these returns happen and everything, you know.
And the EJMEs are so concerned, you know, and a lot of people don't want
Well, whoever they put EJ with, somebody's, some group's going to be mad. So somebody.
But, you know, one of the things I wrote back, I think I may have written it to Marlene, or I don't know quite who. You know, it's a terrible tweet addiction. I can't remember who I tweeted to.
Because, you know what, I tweeted back to her, too, and I said, well, why don't you make everybody happy and just bring Tony back?
I love it.
Did you remember? All the couples are fine. Well, you know, just make everyone happy because you never hear anybody saying that they don't want Tony back. Everyone wants him back, so just bring him back.
I think it shows the irony. It shows the irony, though, in getting rid of Nadia Bjorlund because, you know, if someone has only been watching the show, you know, in the last few years, I can understand how they would not really care very much about Chloe, but I mean, I'm very attached to Chloe from back 1999, you know, with she and Phillip, and I was invested. I'd love to see Chloe took that together again as a happy ending.
I know.
I do like them together. I have to admit.
I do.
Phillip
and even like I said, and there's some folks that really want Kyle Lauder to come back. I wouldn't mind seeing him if they brought him back as Eric. Mm-hmm. I think that might be kind of interesting. I don't know if they would do that. But bottom line is just that, you know, she had a fan base, you know, with, you know, I was not a fan of Daniel. I'm not a big fan of Daniel and anybody. But anyway, but, you know, they still had supporters. There's still a lot of folks that are, you know, concerned and upset that, you know, Daniel and Chloe aren't together. And then she had Phillip and Chloe. And then there are a lot of people, you know, that would still want Brady and Chloe together. And they're going to have at least some friendship scenes in the next, I guess, in the next week or two. But I thought to myself, but, you know, I understand, but, you know, what do you want is conflict and people that really want to see different couples together. And here you've got three or four different groups that want to see Chloe with someone, you know, and obviously not in the role that she is right now as a prostitute. But anyway, so I guess it just struck me as that, you know, at least it was a good sign for Nadia. Someone had written back. And this is true too. It was, you know, at least, you know, there, you know, every, and I don't know if I should say the spoiler or not. Is it okay to say spoilers? Or we've said a few things already. I don't know. But what I had read is that, you know, Chloe, I don't think will be killed, but she's going to be beaten senseless to unconsciousness. And I just go, why? Why in the world do they just want to just destroy this character just out of just sheer meanness? But someone did make a comment, and it's a valid thing to say, well, at least this will, you know, give an opportunity for Brady to be by your side. And I kept thinking, I said, well, that's true. That's a good point. But, you know, I'm thinking they could have done that a thousand different ways and different times without having her back in the hospital and beaten. And I've read several things that they may just leave her in a coma, and that may be.
Oh, she's already had. Shouldn't there be like a one coma rule? Like you should. I mean, she's got like 6 years.
Yeah. How many times has she been in the hospital? Yeah.
I mean,
well, really.
You know,
I mean, there's been a rotation. I think they have a little program set up in Excel or something that rotates people. Okay, this is your week to go in the hospital. I hope they don't leave her in a coma. You know, like I said, I still kind of hope that she's off to Chicago or something, and then maybe, you know, she and Phillip can come back, you know, and somehow have a happy ending. Because I honestly cannot watch. There's a lot of stuff with the prostitution story and the drug addiction story with Carly. I tune out of that completely. I'm trying to watch that, but it's just miserable, and it is, you know, you can't look at it and say, oh, I think this is, you know, really speaking to a social issue. I don't see that. I just sit there the whole time and get mad and think, why is Taylor, Carly, or Chloe at this point on the show? I mean, again, and I don't mean to be cruel, because like I said, I like the character Chloe the way she used to be, and how she should be written now. But, you know, with Taylor's situation, I really gave it a shot. It's, it's a nightmare. And, you know, they've given her the role of McCarthy, you know, Dina Higley's daughter's role at the police department, basically.
Oh, that's a rewrite. Yeah, there you go.
I really, that's what I think. And, I mean, I had to laugh that, you know, of course, we know how efficient and proper the Salem PD is. But, you know, it was just absurd. Roman comes in and goes, we finally got access now with the FBI to be able to look up on their database all this information. Here, Taylor, go ahead and go look into it. And I'm thinking, okay, she has no training. She has no security clearance. She's supposed to be an administrative person, and you're going to sit her on the FBI database. You know, there are a lot of more ridiculous things.
And she's on there, herself, you know. I mean, the full founder, a Jill picture of her.
Such a stupid line when Roman says, you've got Mandy on the flash drive, right? Can you rush over here with that? That was like the stupidest line ever. I was like, please.
Oh, that's pitiful. They should have read too that, you know, of course, Dario for a while, I think last week or last time I called in, somebody mentioned Dario, and I had already forgotten about Dario. But, you know, he's still around a little bit. But, of course, you know, he's just going to take a transfer with Titan to Argentina. And I'm just thinking, my gosh, why didn't, you know, just go ahead and do that with Taylor and with, you know, because they've put so much work in. And I know that there are a lot of fans, a lot of folks that really, and Crystal Chappelle is a great actress. And you know, I know a lot of people are very sad that she's gone, so I don't mean to be, you know, because if someone, if EJ was leaving or something like that, I would be all over the place.
Sympathize with them for their favorites,
But honest to goodness, the storyline is, for me personally, is just so miserable. You know, Jamie Giddens on Daytime Confidential did a podcast. I swear, I laughed till I cried over it because he kept saying the only, and again, I don't know from personal experience, but he probably doesn't either. But, you know, it does sound like, you know, if you would go through some type of withdrawal over pills, that would be different than if you were, you know, some type of street drug situation. But, you know, it was so dramatic and so gut-wrenching, and she's, you know, screaming all over the room, and, you know, just everything. It was just so much that I just couldn't quite take it. I had to just kind of go forward a little bit. I just couldn't watch it. But now they're bringing in, and I think we talked about this too, is the whole Nicholas thing. Hank, you know, hiring this young guy who's 10 years younger than the character was 10 years ago. You know, now he's what, 17 or 18, why spend all the energy, time, and money doing this story? Because, you know, they might keep him, but goodness gracious, there are so many talented young people like on One Life to Live. I hope that they bring some of, do you think maybe they'll bring some of those guys on as part of the younger set? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bunch of those guys were in California last week.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I was kind of hopeful, like Chris Alderson, the girl that plays Star Manning on I have no way of knowing, but, you know, there's some very talented, ambitious actors and so forth that may not want to stay and go, you know, be the first, you know, wave on Prospect Park's, you know, online show. I just don't know. But I know she said specifically she was leaving to go to L.A. and looking for a job. So anyway, I just kind of wonder. Like I said, I have been underwhelmed with Nicholas's return with Carly.
The thing of it is, we know there's so many parts of the show right now that are short term. I mean, there's very,
but
I mean, other than the Kate and EJ stuff and a few other things, it's kind of like hard to really invest because, you know that these things are being wrapped up. And, I mean, I guess what would make it entertaining is that tweeting game where we just tweet when we see a rewrite. But, you know, I see your retweet. But it's just hard to invest in even the crap stories because, you know, that thank goodness.
But you know
why?
You know, if once they knew, and I don't know what it's going to take for me to finally just be satisfied. I mean, maybe after September, you know, I'll just be able to let it go. But it just, I just sit here and think, why in the world, even if you have taped all this mess or you've rewritten stuff and then taped it, why even go there? And I, you know, see EJ talking to a psychiatrist or a psychologist about just how he's evolved. I'd be happy to see James Scott sit there with the psychologist and have like some little soprano type
therapy. That'd be interesting.
Uh-huh.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, I'd enjoy
I'd rather see that than to see Carly, you know, going through all of this, you know, just misery, because and now we're going to have a week with her and the girl that they brought in as a therapist. So that's going to be another whole week of that. You know, that it's just kind of throwaway. Why just, and then you know it's beyond. Again, I wanted to, you know, I like Tamara Braun. I had hope a long time ago that maybe when they brought Tamara on, it was going to somehow help. And they were really going to change Taylor. Of course, they didn't, and it's just been miserable. I'm, you know, like I said, and I really held out hope, and I'm saying, I don't want to even see her. And
no,
it's not,
I can't
I don't
stand
like
her.
I almost tweeted
this week that the wardrobe department must absolutely hate Taylor as much as we do. She was wearing all different kinds of shades of orange in the last week, and I'm sorry. I mean, I like
that
orange
striped shirt.
Things. But the orange striped shirt, and then later in the week, she had a different orange shirt on.
I'm sorry, but
very few people look good in orange on camera. It just doesn't work for her.
Well,
I mean, and especially that one with the stripes was hideous.
It was hideous, and it looked like
And Nicole looked really good in her stuff.
I didn't like Nicole's blue top. I did not like that.
I like that.
Beads.
No.
Ugh, that was terrible. Mm-hmm. But did you see how this tweeted with Martha Byrne this week? She was like, I turned on Days and the sets are blue and the clothes are all blue. And I tweeted her back, like, yeah, that's been the case for months. And she said, I think they're going to be wearing purple tomorrow. She tweeted back to me.
DJ and Kate had purple on.
Yeah. Well, remember that somebody on the set, I can't remember if it was wardrobe or if it was the set people, said that things really come off good in blue on HD. So that's why they do that a lot, but it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, because you kind of go, wait, have you been around a memo? You know how people at work will say, what, I didn't get the memo because everyone will show up in the same shirt coincidentally or whatever?
Yeah, same
and
color.
And it's like,
yeah.
It's like apparently they have this Salem, you know, memo that goes out, you know, and it says, okay, well, purple day, different shades of purple.
I don't mind that all that much. I don't know how many
of you
have been serial bridesmaids before, but I know I have served my duty as a bridesmaid quite a number of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they go through the list of colors that look good on almost anyone, you know, whatever their coloring. So if you're fair and blue-eyed or if you're, you know, dark-haired and brown-eyed or whatever, and, you know, purple, turquoise, I forgot what all the colors were, but, you know, I feel like, you know, that's kind of, you know, that if they come up with those themes, then regardless of which actors are there, you know, they've, you know, it's probably easier, you know, to get people to either, you know, coordinate or to look okay. Mm-hmm. But honest to goodness, I mean, Taylor and Carly, the whole time Carly's been on the show, I mean, I've met Crystal Chappelle in person twice, and, I mean, she's an attractive person, and I mean, my goodness, I mean, they don't help her at all on the show. I mean, that poor plaid shirt.
She had a small window of time where she looked really good, like they changed her hair and everything, and then it went back. Everything went kind of back to not being so good. I don't know. I don't get it either.
She and Taylor both, you know, are just. You know, so yeah, that, if they had the fashion police, you know, review Days of Our Lives, it would not be pretty. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like I said, I guess those were the main things I was thinking about. That, going back to the thing about Brian DeTillo, I thought when Marlene responded back to some of those questions, one of the things she said, you know, she was talking about, you know, if the, you know, the Bricole fans will be feel upset if the Brelby fans are happy, and then if, mm-hmm. you know, the whoever else fans, but then she said specifically, she said, and of course, then there are people that are upset because Brian has not been brought back yet.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I saw that.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting. And then, you know, of course, Allison Sweeney is doing some of these behind-the-scenes tapings. I don't know if you've seen any of these little touts that she's done.
Yeah.
And then,
I just saw that.
So that the one that she did with Christy Clark, which I thought was really cute, where they were talking about the guys. You know, to me, out of the hints, I kept thinking, pardon? The Best Kisser, yeah.
The Best Kisser? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I felt like they were trying. They were saying basically their answer was Brian DeTillo, you know, just because just trying to figure out who it all could be. I mean, it could have been the other third woman that they didn't reveal. You know, I kept thinking it's probably Nadia, but I thought it was Ariane. It might have been Ariane, but they didn't really do a lot of kissing. I mean. You know, even though they were married, because Kate paid her that $5 million.
$5 million.
I mean, $5 million is a key number on Days of Our Lives.
I know. It's always fun. You think with inflation, it would get moved up to 10 or something. So.
I would take $5 million in a heartbeat right now. Of course,
sure.
I wouldn't necessarily marry. I don't know if I would marry somebody or not, but anyway, I still think. But they didn't have a whole lot of. Real, you know, not a lot of kissing going on. There was a lot of people that Nicole has kissed, but I don't remember it recently. I guess maybe it's because that would have been back in the 90s. But anyway, I guess I took that as hope that maybe they will bring Brett Bryan, because when they talk about the quad of, you know, Christy Clark and Patrick Muldoon and then, of course, Galen Gehring and Allison Sweeney, yeah, I just think, you know, if you're bringing back that quad, Lucas needs to be involved in it somehow. I mean, they showed the September promo. I'm glad I watched it closely while it was still on before they pulled it. But I honestly felt like I was looking and thinking, I think that's going to be Brian over there. You know, I really had just about convinced myself. Just like they say, I'm probably seeing things, I know. But, you know, I really had gotten to that point. And then when they talked about the September retrospect that you know, a person was making their debut coming back into Salem on that day. I get, you know, and then when we saw the September preview and we saw Jack, I got the sense that was his entrance back into Salem. Now, maybe it's not. Maybe he's going to be hiding behind plants and, you know, sneaking around earlier.
I think that's not what I had heard, yeah.
But it just didn't make sense.
He's the first one to come back, I think.
And so I have the sense, that he's coming, but we'll see him in September. He was filming, like y'all were saying, he started filming before anybody else did. So, I wonder if they won't show him kind of sneaking around Salem or something. Mm-hmm. And so we see him, and there was a tweet from Days 45 at one point that said we would see him earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so I thought, but and then who would come, you know, just like, and somebody else.
I mean, they should have, for what the reason they're getting everybody together, they really should bring Brian back, because he's a Horton, you know.
He's a Horton.
Even though I still think he's a Demira. I still think he's a Demira at heart. But, but, I mean, he's a Horton.
Wanted to be in there.
So, I mean, you would think that they would bring him back for that. You know,
it was so ludicrous not to at least have in the dialogue, and again, this is Higley dialogue, not necessarily her dialogue. Again, I love Carolyn Killington, and again, I don't blame any of the folks that are doing dialogue writing. I think they actually do a very good job on the whole, but the Killingtons are pros at what they do. But so help me, when Will graduated, nobody even said, Lucas called such and such and so and so. It's like he made no.
Kate wasn't even there. I mean, she lives in town. You know, Kate wasn't even at his graduation stuff.
Was Roman
like,
even there?
Was grandma.
I don't even think.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
he's
and not
stupid.
Even a comment that he wasn't there and that he had called or anything. I mean, I would have gone for any little straw, because I just felt like, you know, this is just insane to have it like this. So, that's. Like I said, I guess I'm hoping. I think that was interesting. I think that the other interview that they did, I don't know who did the actual interview. This was posted, I think, on Daytime Royalty too. The interview with Chad Chandler Massey, which was good. And you know, and then of course, and they asked him about
did they think that Lucas would come back? And of course, from he said Chandler said, you know, he says I always think there's a place for Brian Dottillo to come back. You know, so obviously, you know, he kind of gave a shout out to Brian, so that was really sweet. But yeah, they really avoided the gay storyline. I still kind of suspect that they're not going to use Will in the gay storyline ultimately.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's being backpedaled.
I think so too. And he didn't really answer anything directly, which, you know, either way he wouldn't have answered it directly. But, you know, he said they were really spending a lot of time exploring his relationship with Marlena, his grandmother. And I think that's interesting. But, he said that he had worked almost not at all with Patrick Muldoon as far as Austin. So if they're not going to really dig into the relationship that Will and Austin had, I mean, the interviewer was really good because she said, well, you know, Will spent 3 years in Switzerland with Austin and Carrie. You would think when they come to town, you'd be engaged. But he's focusing mainly with Marlena. So I think, like I said, I think that's just kind of, I think it's interesting. I think the other thing that I would hope, like I said, is they, to me, they're writing either Tad, is it Tad or T? You know, he's acted so homophobic and so negative, I'm beginning to think they're going to have him actually end up realizing that he is struggling with his identity.
That leaves out,
because he's been, I mean, he's been so obnoxious.
Would actually be a better way to handle it than just making him so obnoxious.
That's why he was
that
like that.
He makes, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Trying to convince
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, giving him a motivation for being, like, you know, that way,
And in Chandler's interview, and of course they laid out the framework, I guess it was just this past week, but they're going to start up, I guess, their own little, you know, Apple company, you know, or Facebook, you know, type, you know,
funny
social
ass
network.
Chad, but,
and they talked about it with Chad, and then I read somewhere that EJ is giving a lot of the seed money, you know, to them to get the business started. And but yet when Chandler talked about the storyline with Freddie Smith and the company and everything, he never mentioned Chad in there at all. And I mean, so I always thought that was kind of odd that it, you know, he talked about it being Will and Sonny starting the company and how interesting that was going to be. And he mentioned nothing about Chad as if he, you know, and the way it looked this week, it was the three of them would be partners, right?
That's
so
what
I wonder if
like.
Maybe that's not going to happen. On Thursday or Friday, it was Friday, Kate Dempsey tweeted, changes on her tweet. And I don't know what that means. That could have meant anything.
Kate who said that? Lauren?
Kate Mancy. That played that.
Kate Mancy,
Oh.
And like I said, that was the same week that a lot of the young crowd from ABC shows that, you know, had come down to do some type of publicity or say something with ABC at some point. I know they took a bunch of photos and stuff, but they were down in California for the full week. And, you know, I just wonder, like I said, they have, to me, One Life to Live, which I don't watch all the time. I watch it some on SoapNet, and especially now trying to support it, because I do think it's a well-written show, and, you know, it's been a good show. But they do have probably the best young people, cast. And so, and especially some of those people have already said specifically that they want to come to California. That would be, if they were going to beef up Salem U at all, then, you know, there's probably some people they could use. Not saying that anything is going to happen to Casey Diedrich. I have no idea. I just thought it was just odd, and maybe if y'all watch the Chandler Massey interview, it could be just that he just didn't think of it when he said it, but I thought that was interesting too. So those were all my little suspicions and thoughts this week, but I thought it was a much better week than, the first rewrite, the first couple of days of the rewrites or the realignment or whatever they were calling it, I was going, I don't think if this is all going to be Taylor and Carly and Chloe, I just don't think I can deal with it too much. But since they've shown me
a few more weeks
and EJ, it was much, much better, I thought, the latter part of the week.
Yeah. Let me grab Madeline. She's on hold.
Okay. Okay.
Madeline.
Bye.
Oh, Madeline.
Hi,
there she is. Okay.
Hey, Madeline.
Hi, Madeline.
You know, I have to say they are doing a great job with the promotion between Twitter and the changes they've made on the previews and everything. I think they're doing, and then the little clips that they're doing in between, I think they're doing a really good job on that.
Yeah, those little clips of what's to come is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like the way they do the previews now with the black and white interspersed and everything. It's kind of neat the way they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to bring up. I wanted to bring up the DJ Nicole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys catch that scene where Belle and Hope, for some reason, are interrogating EJ about the attacks? Like EJ had anything to do with it? I mean, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like
uh-huh.
Hope attacked EJ, didn't she? When she was Nighttime Hope.
I know. They should be interrogating Hope. Seriously, if anybody, it might be her. So Belle asks about the drug business, and Nicole's like, oh, yeah, we sold that.
Yeah, we sold that. EJ, like, looks at her like, oh, really? Did you just say that? Oh, you did, did you? He calls him Junior. I love when he calls him Junior, too. Oh, Junior.
Yeah.
So considering it was bought from the Kiriakis family, what is Bo doing involved in the first place? Oh, since when have they had ethics?
I know.
Yeah, really.
Was this before? What day was this? I only saw Friday.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was
it,
that.
Was
I have
it Thursday or was
you,
it Thursday?
Thursday.
Was it Thursday?
I only watched Friday because they said the rewrite started yesterday. So
it started on the 19th.
Well, that makes sense. That one with Kate and EJ, that whole kind of Swilomima thing, that had to be a rewrite.
Well, I thought they started them on the 19th that we were going to start seeing the wrap-up stuff. So it's been like this last week, I think. But
we'll probably really start noticing
it.
Well,
they said it was
going to
be like the 15th, and then somebody tweeted, Dave 45 tweeted it was going to be this week. But it was like Thursday or Friday.
Oh, okay. So it changed it.
Nothing I heard until yesterday sounded like it was a rewrite.
Yeah.
So, the EJ
Contessa Wilhelmina stuff, yeah, mm-hmm. we were talking about that earlier, came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like the idea. I just was, like, thinking, was there some frame of reference
this
to that?
Kinda came
did
out
I miss something? So,
this kind of came
good.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining either. I just,
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking maybe I'd missed a scene or something. I was like, did I miss something or... But because I couldn't figure out why EJ was thought he had, you know, was just so tickled with himself that he had figured out her secret, and I was trying to figure out why she had a secret about it in the first place. But it turns out there's...
Well, did they show Stefano getting sick? I mean, other than him falling over when Chad and EJ were arguing.
That kind of, like, came out of the blue, too, other than his diabetes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's away and he's really sick now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I guess, and then he kind of, and EJ sort of said that he left him in charge, more or less. You know, he's like running the show.
Well, that's what
EJ said.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, oh, Stefano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on there, but
yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it just sounds so 90s to me. But
yeah,
it can't be worse. I know it can't be worse.
No, it really can't be worse than what it's been.
No.
Okay.
We're hoping for it to get better.
I got a tweet from Bob Hapka, so I have to mention that because Anna's BFFs with them. I tweeted about the Steelers. I wanted someone to update me while we're doing the show, and he wrote to me, okay, they still suck. # of course I am jealous.
That's cute.
So we're not pimping Bob Hapka anymore because he just bashed my Steelers.
But at least he admitted he was jealous.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're not going to pimp at...
We're not going to pimp at Bob Hapka anymore, are we? What was it that we weren't going to pimp Terry?
And he likes Rafe, too. That's another.
It's another ding against him.
It's another ding.
I know.
He doesn't like the Gamiras, and that's another ding.
I'm sensing a turn. Instead of pimping at Bob Hapka, we're now going to be bashing at Bob Hapka. Is that what was his Twitter address again? Or his Twitter? No, I'm just kidding.
You're funny.
I'm surprised you guys are online. I take it the storm.
And tell them we're talking about him right now.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So you know we're talking. He better start listening to the show now.
By the way, Nadia tweeted a picture of her bare bottom on her Twitter page.
What?
If anyone, yeah. And then she sits there and complains that she's being portrayed as a prostitute on the show, and then she puts up a bottomless picture on the internet.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Really, Nadia?
Wow.
Yep. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You never know. Maybe Gina got the idea from some of those pictures,
It's actually her Twitter profile picture, and she's got she's wearing a black bra and no panties, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That would explain why somebody tweeted that they liked her name Abby better. I didn't know what it was.
Well, I mean, I've been on Twitter now for a year. I had no idea you can put pictures like that on the internet, on Twitter, you know.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'm kind of surprised. Hmm. Oh, well.
Well, I guess you can. What's going to happen afterwards is the question.
That's true. I keep we don't have Sony. I keep forgetting we don't have Sony mods on Twitter. It's like I'm like, oh wait, we
don't have
Sony
mods. You can just stop saying anything
Twitter
you want.
Twitter seems to be open and free as long as anybody's interested in it. Mm-hmm. If you kick off too many people, well then it'll disappear.
Yeah.
Is anybody banned on Twitter for 72 hours?
No, I'm sure you can
be.
They can report you.
Yeah, I guess.
There's been some Twitter accounts where they're like putting up child porn, and those people were
a douchebag. No. A douchebag was pulled.
No, he pulled himself. So.
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people go off themselves.
I'm sure he pulled himself.
Off, and you're insulted by it, then you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of people who are ticked off by him, and they just have they're amoral, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. That's I wanted to mention EJ bashed Brady. It's so obvious he's so jealous of Brady. But he called Brady a drug-addled Ken doll.
That's a Ken doll. Remind you of a Ken doll, doesn't he? He is a Ken doll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
In a good way.
Ken doll. In a good way,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is what drives me nuts about Days, which I'm not happy with the spoilers with. They dangle E. Jolie in front of me. They dangle Brick Cole in front of me. And it's not going to happen, either one. So it makes me mad. Because Brady's going with Madison. Maybe I guess EJ gets interested in Nicole again. But,
Why are the new writers doing this? Why are they already telling us they're going to stick Madison with Brady? They didn't learn anything from the last disaster.
Yeah, it's basically
telling us
with Taylor
that,
and
EJ.
They're hiring
somebody for a big romance with EJ, but before we even see them, we already know they're going to be in love. I mean, that's just.
They give too much away sometimes.
Brady are going to be in love, but I mean, they're pretty much implying it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just seems like they've learned a few things and not others.
Oh, it looks like Nadia changed her avatar, so maybe you can't have naked bum pics on Twitter.
No, maybe.
Well,
maybe
that was quick.
I guess. Sorry, I missed that.
Oh.
It's all, some people what? Captured it, so yeah. And,
oh,
yeah.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I think that's not going on the walk. You know. Just, you know.
It'll be everywhere.
Whatever. Yeah, well, if you want to see it, it's on Daytime Royalty, but not, I'm not putting it on the block. So.
Crash the server. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Nah. I'll pass.
I'll pass.
So,
there are a few people I wouldn't mind seeing in that situation, but it wouldn't be her.
It wouldn't be her.
Let's see, I can think of a few men on the show if I wouldn't mind seeing them. They aren't on Twitter. Or one of them.
What happened to that?
Remember the one whose pictures get, you know, whose naked butt we get to see now? Bar luck, it'll be Josh Taylor.
I was going to say, was it this week everybody gathered around Maggie's hospital bed and sang Kumbaya? Is that this week?
No,
was that one day?
Did they?
Or Tuesday? I don't know.
Where she miraculously came back.
They haven't been on for a while.
She came back from the dead end.
When she came back. Must have been the beginning of the week, maybe, or the end.
That's what I'm thinking. If Maggie gets shot again, like in the Middle East, we could have peace in the Middle East. She would get them all to agree not to stop attacking each other.
Okay, so she survived. Everybody went in there, and suddenly the war was over.
Right.
Yeah, the war's over.
EJ, Stefano, Brady, and Victor all declared the war over in Maggie's hotel, in Maggie's hospital room. It was Monday. Shyland confirmed that was Monday. All because of Maggie.
And I'm just
She should be like a diplomat for the UN or something.
Yeah.
Get her.
They can send them to Tripoli, but not until after they catch Gaddafi.
But because they didn't clear it over when Tony got shot. They didn't clear it over when Tony got killed and when Philip got shot. Then EJ got beat up and then Chad got shot.
Where was Maggie then?
And then Maggie, you know, after all those people got attacked and shot. Yeah, but when all these people get attacked, it's okay. But when it's Maggie, well, then, that's stepping over the line. Goofy. I just thought that was hilarious.
That's typical Ken Corday. That's not, I'm not going to even blame that on Dina. Because that is so typical of Ken Corday. You know, there are certain characters that mean more than others for him. Sadly, I mean, I love Maggie, but I mean, it's just ridiculous. It doesn't make me like her more. That tends to do the opposite with me. And the more he shoves one down my throat, the worse it gets. Like, oh, God, Roman. Roman was on. I just, every time I see Josh Taylor playing Roman, I just want to...
Oh, I know.
I want to go hunt down Ken Corday.
Like, why?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to mention. Do you remember when Nicole left the show? Who she was last seen with?
Oh, yeah, she was with him.
She was with
Roman.
Yeah.
They
had a thing going on
at one time.
She came back, haven't
they? Yep. She was so ashamed she left town. But, it cracked me up, but no one mentions that Roman slept with Billy, too. And it's never been mentioned.
Oh, thank goodness. I don't really want to think about that. Kate's daughter. Oof.
Yeah.
I wish I could forget that Jonathan on the show. And he could be in scenes with Sammy and Rafe, because I don't watch those. That would be fine.
Sammy and Rafe
of course
are
we
so
have.
Boring.
Sammy and Rafe
are about
going
whole,
I fast-forward
the whole cancer scare.
I fast-forwarded through everything eventually.
It just makes me sick that Patrick Muldoon is going to be stuck with her and Ray. That was the only return I, other than Jack, I care about. And it's just like, I mean, I have to watch Rafe to watch Austin now? No. No, that's like torture.
At least it's not the other Austin. So,
yeah. I'd rather have Patrick back.
Well, no, see,
Austin,
if it was, then I could just fast forward the whole thing.
I see your point. Patrick's going to make you watch Ray.
No,
I understand.
Yeah.
Patrick's going to make, he's going to force
you. I'm only interested in watching Austin because of Patrick Muldoon. But we'll have to see what they do with them. If it's going to be the same old boring, you know, Sammy is Ray's is jealous of Austin. Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm just not. Ray should be jealous of everybody on that damn show.
Did you guys see the Dirty Soap promos and the cast pictures and stuff?
Wasn't that the one of Nadia with her bare butt? Okay, aren't those the promo show?
No, that's not. That was the promo. She was complaining she was playing a prostitute.
Yeah.
She was complaining to, I think she was complaining to Sarah. Yeah, so that's coming on the 25th. And everybody online is kind of like, what's Galen and his wife doing on this show? But it does seem odd because they're the only married couple. You know, I think Galen's probably close to 40 now or so.
Is that who's standing
Which means their relationship is doomed because anyone who goes on the shows is married ends up divorcing. Not all of them, but.
Yeah.
I hope that's not the case. I mean, I certainly hope not, but.
I just don't see Galen hanging out with Sarah and Kirsten and Nadia and Kelly Monaco. I mean, he just seems like the odd person out. You know what I mean? That's not really his peer group.
The 30-something. You know, if they keep him, you know, if they just do a lot of shots of him changing jeans like they did a commercial, that's his gift. I mean, he has a gift there. He should use it to the max, you know. And just don't talk. Don't talk.
Just don't talk.
That's all I ask.
Yeah. Just put a bag over your head, Galen, and
I mean, I personally think he's a nice-looking man. I'm not saying I can't stand the character.
I'm thinking if I would meet him in person as Galen Gehring, I would probably have a whole different opinion.
Yeah.
See, I am basing everything on race and the character.
So is every single model in every single male magazine.
He's just not
personality as any of them.
Yeah.
I
don't think he's a very good actor at all. He's not a good actor.
He's a completely two-dimensional character.
He's not a good actor.
Not just the writing.
No.
Sadly.
Because a good actor can take bad writing and make it good. So, you know, I don't know.
Or at least make it entertaining. Maybe not good, but entertaining. He just makes it worse.
I will say, back to the show this last week, I can't stand Taylor, and I probably fast forward 90%+ of her scenes, but I have to say I liked some of the scenes with her and Nicole at the pub. Because finally, Nicole was sticking it to her, and I loved that part. I love that she was really, like, you know, sticking it to her finally. Because and then all of a sudden, Taylor's like, well, you know, let's go back to the way we were because I'm not with EJ anymore. And I'm like, oh, that's supposed to make her feel better, bitch? You know, it's like, oh, great, you tossed my husband aside, now you want us to be BFFs again. Okay, right, you know.
I didn't like Taylor acting. She wasn't acting like Taylor.
I know. Which may be part of the rewrites too, you know. We were talking about that earlier. There's different rewrites going on. I just loved how Nicole was going after her, so pretty cool. I don't know. I can't think of anything else, but
And did you guys talk about there's a spoiler coming up that Nicole and EJ are going to have a tango?
Oh.
Yes, I heard all the complaints about that, because remember EJ and Sammy had a tango. So all the jams are up in arms about it. Yeah, I did hear that.
Well, I think mostly they're up in arms about it because there are so few moments that EJ and Sammy have left that they haven't, like, stumped on. The writers haven't just, like, destroyed and mutilated like they have both of EJ's kids, you know, going on about how wonderful Rafe is, you know. So if I was an Jeremy fan, I understand how frustrated they are. Part of me, though, is kind of like curious where they're going with this. Because, I don't see that many interviews. Has Ari been interviewed that much? And when she is, she doesn't sound particularly excited about anything. So I kind of wonder if it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't seen Ari interviewed, really.
I haven't seen EJ and anybody on the mini plots. It's just EJ, right?
Yeah.
They did that one for him running for practicing. I couldn't tell. It was real. The sound wasn't very good. But he was supposed to be making a political campaign.
That's what I thought. Campaign commercial.
Campaign commercial. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It just
sounds like they're gonna. And I don't think there's necessarily a bad thing as long as it's not for long. It's making EJ, you know, giving time by himself.
Well,
I just worry.
I mean,
these are writers who think, you know, who have in the past, in the 90s, you know, the Damaras were all bad and they didn't deserve love. And I'm leery of that.
I think bad guys don't deserve love, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just them.
It's always been that way.
No, it hasn't been always been that way. Well, it's been that way since about 1985.
85, well, yeah.
Before that.
Yeah.
Before Sherry and Maggie Dupree, you know, left, you know, that was. Damaras got to be, you know, they had great love affairs. Mm-hmm. They had really amazing love affairs. After that, it was just crap. The only thing even close has been Stefano and Kate, and sadly, they don't pay any attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if Stefano is supposed to have gone off and Kate is getting into business again, not that I'm sad for Kate. I kind of wonder.
You know, I can't imagine that the Days writers are so stupid, though, that they wouldn't try to make EJ into some sort of super couple with somebody. I mean, that'd be just a waste of a good man to have him be a mini Stefano. That wouldn't make any sense. That he's just,
maybe they're
going to
try
somebody,
and fix his character.
They need to find somebody
for the benefit of the doubt first. I will, for a little bit. For a little bit, we'll see. I have this sneaking suspicion that I'm going to have to put up with John Bean. Sorry, Marianne, I know, but I just can't.
That's fine. I'd rather see EJ than John, really.
Character all over again. There's just no way they can make John interesting to me.
Well, they're probably not going to make him new John. He's probably going to be the old John, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I know.
So. Yeah.
Which is more like Rafe's character. So, you know, he's a hypocrite, and they can't fix that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to have him play, you know, the perfect person again. That's going to work for me.
I did read that Marlena will be going back to work, though. She's going to go back to being a therapist. So I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I'd rather see that than her in Box in a Birdcage or all the other, or Possessed. I mean, yeah. I guess that's something people can relate to.
I get to laugh at all the stuff she that would be amusing.
I mean, yeah, if you're Marlena, I mean, can anybody really shock you? when they come in to talk to you about their problems. Like, oh, yeah, honey, and I happened to leave back in 91. Yeah. Been there, done that.
On the other hand, if I was a client, I'm not sure I'd take anything she said seriously.
Yeah.
It'd be a little hard to take, you know, psychological advice from somebody as messed up as she is. But we'll see how they do. Well, that, and I'm curious to see how they do this, whatever it is with John supposedly stealing. And it sounds like they're going to draw it out. They've hired some actress who's going to be the judge, and this is all the way to November. So it doesn't sound like he's just going to the hook.
Yeah, they're filming Thanksgiving right now.
Yeah.
So.
I just
thought it was Halloween.
Knowing that it's John, I'm sure it'll turn out that he was, you know, trying to catch somebody. Maybe Damaris.
Yeah. Save Jack and Jennifer wrote in the chat room that she's writing as Marlena. You think you have problems? I killed the whole freaking town and ended up on an island.
And of course, we'll never mention that again. It's kind of like never mentioning Rex and Cassie. They're just
Rex and Cassie. They're not
Peter
Blake. Thought of.
Yeah. Although we do have a stepbrother and stepsister doing it now, so whatever.
Who's that?
What? Stepbrother and stepsister?
Yeah,
who's that?
Gabby and Will?
No, she's like a step-aunt.
No, she's not.
No. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's weird.
So it is kind of like Uncle Max.
And it's not a step.
No.
It's an in-law.
It's Dan's half-brother. So they're Jen was Lucas's half sister. Horton. They're both Bill's children. So
yep.
Gabby is Will's cousin. Right?
Gabby?
Yeah.
No, not Gabby.
Abby is
Will's cousin.
Yeah.
But he's not doing
Abby
her. I dawned on me the other day. I was like, ooh, I thought it was stepbrother or sister, but you're right.
They're not related.
But they're not blood related, but it is a little weird. I don't know. Anyway.
So is Sunny and Abby. Because Adrian
they're not doing
Jack.
It either. I was just concerned with
Adrian
and doing
Jack's
it each other.
Sister. So.
Everybody
so
in Salem is related somehow.
That's why they're
gonna
really
have incense somehow.
You've got inbreeding.
Yeah, it's just unavoidable in Salem.
Yeah, you can't really bring back Belle at this point because she's related to all the Damaris.
Yeah.
And they have to bring somebody new in for Brady because other than Nicole, everybody else is related to him, aren't they? In some way or shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
So, because poor John is related to everybody. I wonder if they'll change that.
That's what I was wondering.
Not
to remember if he's a Brady. I mean, that's a mirror.
Yeah.
Because they forgot that Brady is.
I just don't understand why they did that, and then had pretended like Stefano didn't know, because that would have been the perfect reason for Stefano to go after him.
Right.
Because he was Santos. And Colleen's son, grandson would have been better, but But at least that would have made sense. And to make him not know, that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That had to be Dina. That was so dumb.
I miss Tony calling John Uncle John. That was funny.
I know.
Yeah. Well, they were brothers first, and then they were, they were brothers
so
first.
Sarcastically.
Yeah, Uncle John.
John is younger than Tony.
Yeah, and John's younger than Tony.
Well, yeah, remember Brady used to call Phil Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil.
Phil is his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Brady was born first.
Yeah, but Brady doesn't call Bo Uncle Bo, really. He doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did he do it before?
He never called him Uncle Bo.
Playing? I can't remember. That's weird.
Yeah. I totally forget Brady and Bo are related until Brady, beats somebody up and Bo has to cover it up. If it wasn't for that, I would forget they were related. That's all Bo does is cover up for the Kyriakises and the Bradys.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much, that's his job in the police department. And it's usually everybody else's job to cover up for Sammy. I'm tired of Sammy's karma speeches every time there's a health problem in her family. So we just went through that with Johnny in his eye, 8 months ago. No, karma's coming back together. It's like, whatever, Sammy.
And she was naming everything she did, and Rafe kind of looking at her Rafe, run away.
Girl has so much karma coming after shooting somebody in the head. I'm sorry, but there's really nothing they could do to her that would be bad enough at this point.
Yeah, well, she actually mentioned trying to, she can now tell and try to get her adopted. So that was a pretty good one. I can't remember what else she mentioned.
About Lucas, I think something about accusing him of being abusive and then stealing her sister.
And then he was drinking.
Shooting my husband.
Yeah.
Her drinking,
so much. She pulled that. I still love that scene where she blackmailed him. When she blackmails Vivian, and Vivian said, I was never that bad at that age. I couldn't even come close at that age. When she was only about 17 or 18 at the time. she was a new kid. Which makes her, I know I'm barking up the wrong tree with this group, but they should have put her with EJ, I'm sorry. Instead of Rose.
Well, we're getting close to wrapping up the show. Does anybody have any parting thoughts? The last 2 minutes of the show? Anything we didn't cover?
Can't think of anything else.
No, just waiting for September.
I was
going to get the rights to use the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, and when they're doing their commercials coming up for September, they would play that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be great.
Said at the first day, Dina Higley's name went off the credits. Yay!
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, Madeline, you missed this part, but we were talking about we should have a drink, either a tweeting game or a drinking game whenever we notice a rewrite. Like if we tweet that we noticed it or drink. Either way, we'd either, and I was saying earlier, we'd either end up drunk or end up in Twitter jail. Should be interesting.
Well, we'll have to see if that continues. I was just shocked when listening to EJ and Kate that they actually, explained, that he has been, all over the place.
I know. That's what we were talking about. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like they were, it was a Carolyn Culleton script, and I love how she and her husband do. They say things that
they
the audience
out the
is
obvious.
Thinking. Yeah, and I thought that was great that they acknowledged that. And their scenes reminded me of what I loved about the old EJ and Kate, like their witty repartee and their sort of sexual chemistry and then stuff, even though they weren't always together, they still had that thing, about them.
And, you know, EJ was witty and snarky, and now he's just whipped or he's whatever, you know, I don't know. So, yeah, I was glad they did that.
Well, they're going to have to do a lot with EJ to fix him.
Mm-hmm.
One show ain't going to be enough. Not for me.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what they do.
All right.
Hey, guys.
Okay, ladies. All right.
Hey, nice, fun. Did Angela leave? Bye, Angela. Glad she joined us.
Yeah. Thanks, Angela.
Bye.
Bye.
Night.
Night.